What's going on? It is, what, Tuesday? It's September? September 9th? You're listening to Fantasy Process Report, PPR. Matt, Nick, and Jason. Matt and Nick outside Philadelphia, Jason in Miami. And like I said, it is September already, which means it's football season.
Yes, we've got actual NFL football coming up this weekend.
Yeah, and by the way, it's September 4th, not September 9th.
Oh, did I say the 9th?
Yeah, I don't know
where
you got
that
one from.
No, we'll keep on going.
Oh, boy. Anyway, fun stuff tonight. Lots to talk about. We had our draft. And meanwhile, while we discuss our draft, I am live drafting during this podcast in the most absolutely outrageous league ever. Just a quick note, Le'Veon Bell dropped to 5 in this league. Which, that being said, he didn't sign the franchise tag, but...
I think that might be what has these people scared.
Zeke dropped to 8.
And then he got auto-drafted, too.
He got auto-drafted.
Yeah, Matt, do you want to explain why Zeke dropped that low?
Because Kamara's, they're all homers.
On the board. Yo, if he's there for you.
No, Kamara's about to get auto-drafted right here.
That's a shame. Oh, well. But anyway...
it means I could potentially get DeAndre Hopkins and Julio, though, depending who
Hungy's going to be distracting the entire episode with his fantasy draft that is going on.
My pick is next, so we'll give you a very short update on who I get here.
I will do my best to keep us on track.
Yeah, be prepared for some interruptions.
Yes.
So. Anyway, go ahead, Nick. Take it away.
All right. Actually, the first topic I think we're talking about is something that Jason wanted to talk about, so I'll let you take it, Jason.
Yeah, so every year it always seems like there are these breakout candidates who just, maybe they come out of nowhere, maybe they had, because of differing factors, whether it's their fault, injuries, situations, whatever, they came into the draft not highly rated, and there is Hungy's "If My Pick Is Up" sound effect there in the background.
Here we go. Top available player
all right,
is...
stop it. Let Jason finish his train of thought.
Damn it, Hungy.
We'll come back.
Yeah, so last year, that was Todd Gurley, because he was kind of underwhelming as a sophomore, and so he dropped kind of to the third, fourth, maybe even fifth round in a lot of drafts. And then Alvin Kamara was probably undrafted or maybe a 15th, 16th round pick in pretty much every draft, and they both just exploded and dominated the league. So I wanted to look at which guys were those kind of candidates for this season to kind of compare those kind of guys. So, Nick, who do you have for Todd Gurley for us?
All right, so I had one in mind, but I'm looking at the list again, and I think that I might have a better one. The first one I was thinking is Leonard Fournette.
Okay.
I think that he might be like one-man show over there in Jacksonville this year, especially with Marquise Lee going down. I know they're going to be running the wide receivers by committee. They're going to be spreading the ball to whoever is open on any given play. And you know Blake Bortles is capable of throwing for 300 yards in a game, also throwing for 6 interceptions in the same game.
Very true.
So I wouldn't want him as my quarterback for fantasy, but his wide receivers definitely can benefit. But I'm looking at this list. I think LeSean McCoy is...
Someone just took Zach Ertz in the first round.
You're still in the first round? Anyway, this is a league full of Philadelphia homers.
Good
you can
Lord.
Tell.
I guarantee you Wentz is coming next.
But back to my point, LeSean McCoy is, in ESPN's rankings, the 13th ranked running back. I think that he, in the years past, has been a top 5 running back. And
yeah, he has.
This year, I don't know why he's so low.
Well, it's because I think a lot of people are anticipating a suspension, even though there have been zero signs from anyone that that's incoming at all.
All the recent news is saying that he's been cleared. He's going to be good to go week one. So I don't know if that's why he was ranked so low, but I think that he has a chance to get back up there in that like top 5 conversation maybe. The Buffalo Bills, I hate to say it, but are a dumpster fire at this point.
Oh, they are. Yeah, I think a lot of people are also looking at, they don't want to take a running back with a rookie quarterback or Nate Peterman as their quarterback, because that means teams are stacking the boxes. If they don't respect the quarterback, they're going to stack the box with 8, maybe 9 guys, and Shady's going to have nowhere to go.
Yeah, my only concern is that he will, you know, not stay healthy. I think that if he's on the field and he's getting the touches, he's going to be getting 20 touches a game at least, including...
Oh, yeah. And they don't have a reliable backup at this point either. I mean, do you remember... I guess it was maybe 2 or 3 years ago, they had Carlos Williams, the backup running back out of Florida State, who was a very real vulture candidate for the goal line touches, and
yep.
and they were going to be splitting it maybe like 70-30 or something like that. But when you look at Buffalo, there really is no backup.
Fred Jackson, you remember that him?
He oh, was yeah, Fred that was a good Jackson. One.
That was when they were running back by committee.
Yeah, that was a Fred Jackson, C.J. Spiller days when everyone was expecting that C.J. Spiller breakout, and it just never happened.
Speaking of Shady, Shady just went 24th overall.
24th Oof. Overall.
All right, Hungy, let's interrupt this. What were your picks there at the end of the first round?
I had picks, what did I have? I had 12 and 17, and got DeAndre Hopkins at 12, Melvin Gordon at 17.
Ooh, Melvin Gordon at 17 is a steal and a half.
Absolutely.
That's a good spot to take him. I'm not high on him personally, but 17, I think that's a good spot. 17. Yeah.
That being said, this league is kind of outrageous. Zach Ertz went in the first round.
This already sounds like chaos.
Odell Beckham went 4. Saquon went 1st overall.
Hey, now, respect my boy Odell. Come on.
Fournette went 7 before Zeke at 8. So there's some...
sounds like you're going to have some good trade opportunities at some point.
Larry Fitzgerald went 15th overall.
Hey, man.
Wow.
You do not talk about Larry Fitzgerald so, very in a legend, negative way.
There's a lot going on in this league right now. All
right, well, so, I'll give you my Todd Gurley comparison. I could see it being either of two guys, either Joe Mixon or Dalvin Cook. Mm. I think both of those guys are going in, like, the mid to late second round, maybe early third round, depending. And I don't know if that's as late as Gurley was going last year, but it's very running back heavy top of the draft. But yeah, I could see either one blowing up because Mixon came in as a rookie and kind of had some issues, and he was dealing with Gio Bernard and Jeremy Hill. And Jeremy Hill is gone this year, and Gio is pretty much restricted to kind of pass catching and won't get much else, it looks like. And then Dalvin Cook was amazing, but then had that ACL injury. And I think a lot of people are backing off of him for some reason, even though he's shown no reason to be scared. So I think either of those guys could end up in the top 5 picks next year, no problem.
Yeah, I don't know about top 5. I think that Dalvin Cook was a name I was definitely looking at. I think that he has definitely potential to be a boom or a bust. He could be much worse than he's being drafted right now, or he could be slightly higher, but...
Yeah, true.
Yeah, we'll see. There's a lot of good running backs out there.
The thing I forgot was he's not going to be competing with Jerick McKinnon either.
Yeah, I mean, he does still have Latavius Murray there, and Latavius Murray was arguably used more than Jerick McKinnon last year, but your point is still there. He's kind of getting that lead back role, I think, this year, so.
Yeah, absolutely. Hungy, what do you got?
Short interruption, Eagles defense went 31st overall.
Yo, I hope that if you want any Eagles players in this draft, you take them with your next pick.
I am.
You want Jake Elliott? You better take him in the 5th round.
Does Mac Collins get drafted in the 8th?
Nah, that sounds pretty close to about when he's going to go in this league. This is a 14-team league as well, so.
Why is this only showing me quarterbacks now?
Why is it only showing me Eagles players?
That seems to be what everyone else is looking at as well. Nick, do you have a Alvin Kamara comparison for us?
Alvin Kamara? What was your definition of the Alvin Kamara comparison?
I think it was just, I mean, I don't think anyone would expect really anyone ever again to blow up as much as he did and finish, what did he finish, like 3rd or 4th or something like that in running backs, but just someone who is maybe even not even drafted or drafted 14th, 15th, 16th round and then becomes a very viable RB1, wide receiver 1 kind of conversation by the end of the year and a reliable double-digit point getter week in and week out?
My short answer is no. No, nobody's going to do that this year.
No, yeah, I don't think anyone will ever do what Kamara did again. That was just beyond ridiculous, and he was in the perfect situation with Breeze and that offense and everything that happened over there.
I think the close comparison maybe Royce Freeman. I don't know. People seem to really like him.
I had him on my list as well. The only other guy I could think of is Tariq Cohen. He was going in the double-digit rounds as well, and I think getting a new offensive-minded head coach, Matt Nagy, into Chicago and having another year of Trubisky, I think I've said before, I expect them to kind of make maybe not a Rams-type leap, but you have a young quarterback who gets one more year, and they have some talented players around him. I think Cohen makes a big jump, but obviously not to the extent that Kamara did last year. That was just insane.
Yeah, no, I think, like I said, Jordan Howard might be a little bit difficult to make Tariq Cohen kind of take the lead position for that team, but...
It's true, that's true.
How about you, Hungy? Did you have anybody in this argument, or are you...
Honestly, potentially Derrick Henry.
Oh, okay.
I think Derrick Henry, now that DeMarco Murray has retired, left the team, I think Derrick Henry has paved the way to really become the feature back in that offense. He's competing with who? He's competing with...
Deion Lewis.
Yeah, just Deion.
Deion Lewis is, as much as I remember as watching him in the Eagles and Patriots, seems like he's mostly one-dimensional on pass catching out of the backfield. And he's not a phenomenal running back by any case. So I really do think that Derrick Henry can run away with the Titans offense, figuratively speaking.
Yeah, I think that's a
figuratively and literally.
Yeah, I think it could happen.
Especially since they don't really have any superstar receivers either. They've got Rashard Matthews, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of people are high on Corey Davis as well. But, I mean, he hasn't proven anything, so no one really knows.
Right. So their offense pretty much revolves around Henry and Marcus Mariota. So yeah. If Henry can really make a name for himself this year, I think he can really jump up draft boards next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he just has to get off to a hot start. Because I think if he kind of stumbles the first two or three games, then it's going to become Deion Lewis, Mariota show. And Henry will be kind of left behind if he... I think he kind of needs to get off to a hot start because I don't think they're going to have much patience for him.
Yeah, I think that I kind of want to talk about, believe it or not, that team a little bit more, the Tennessee Titans. But I kind of want to think more about the wide receivers right now. Jason, did you take Corey Davis?
I did, yeah. Yeah, lot of people are really high on Corey Davis. I think last year he was just kind of he was that high draft pick, and I think the past couple of years, we've had some rookie wide receivers come in and just dominate right out of the gates, like Odell and Sammy Watkins and Mike Evans and that amazing class from that year and Kelvin Benjamin. But wide receivers historically always take a couple of years, and I think last year was just a big learning curve for him. But every report I've seen out of camp, just like John Ross in Cincinnati, like every report has been like, wow, this guy is just blowing up. Like, I think I took him a little earlier than I probably should have, but I'm excited by what I'm reading, and I'm willing to bet on it, and we'll see how it goes this Sunday. But, I think Corey Davis is going to be really good, and, I mean, I'm also hoping for that's contingent on another step forward from Mariota, and to be honest, he hasn't really shown that in his first couple years. But here's hoping he can take that giant leap forward like a lot of people think he's capable of, but just hasn't quite figured it out just yet.
See, I have a problem with Corey Davis.
Let's hear it.
I don't understand why he is being drafted so much more and higher than Rashard Matthews. And according to ESPN leagues, Corey Davis is owned in 93.4% of leagues, and Rashard Matthews is owned in 46% of leagues. Obviously, Corey Davis is being drafted much higher across the board, but... Last year, he did not do better than Rashard Matthews. Given season, he was out with, I believe it was an injury or something like that. He missed 6 games last season, and then he also missed the last game of the season for some reason. But he scored, and this is PPR, 1-point PPR format, he scored 15 points 1 week and 12 points in the first week of the season, and other than that, he didn't score more than 7 points in a week. He got 6 receptions. This is Corey Davis again. He got 6 receptions in one game and 6 receptions in that other game. He didn't get more than 4 all season in a game. Rashard Matthews has had, 1, 2, 3. He has 3 games over 20 points, not just over double digits, and 7 games in double digits. I think Rashard Matthews is the clearer Tennessee Titans wide receiver option to go with, personally. I don't know why Corey Davis is being projected so much higher than him. The numbers don't lie.
I'll tell you in one word, upside. I think if both of these guys were in their 5th and 6th, maybe 7th year or whatever, and they had that production, then I would agree with you. Matthews is a clear choice. But I think Matthews is at his ceiling. I don't think he can go much higher than what he did last year. Like, I don't think there's much of a possibility of another jump forward with Mariota and everything. But Corey Davis, last year was pretty much his floor. There's only one way to go up from there, and he has so much further to go. I think everyone looks at the potential, and there's a reason why he was a top 10 pick in the NFL draft. He has all these physical tools. He has another year to bond with Mariota, and I think it's just the upside is really all it comes down to. There's people look at Matthews, and that's it. There's not really any conceivable upward trajectory for him, but Davis is just all up. Like, I mean, you're right, he could fall flat, he could have another year, but I think a lot of people are banking on that step forward and that improvement.
Yeah, I think you did hit on one point that needs to be addressed, though, is that, you know, Marcus Mariota is not a pocket passer who's just going to feed him the ball. I wouldn't even call him that much of an accurate passer.
No.
You know, he's a scrambling quarterback who, you know, he makes plays happen with his feet. He extends the play. And if Corey Davis and Rishard Matthews can both extend the play on their end, as far as once the play breaks down, find somewhere to get open, then they're going to get the ball. But Marcus Mariota is not necessarily the pocket passer that's going to feed him.
Yeah.
No? I mean, no, Marcus Mariota's key thing is his legs.
I think Mariota is one of those quarterbacks where he can show up any given game and have like a phenomenal game from a fantasy perspective, but he can also just have like average games where he doesn't really do anything, you know.
I think he also needs from his wide receivers to compare it to Green Bay. What Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson had that made them so special was it seemed like every time the play broke down and Aaron Rodgers is on the move, and this is when he's so good, Jordy always seemed to be open somewhere down the field. They just had that connection where Jordy could send, like, maybe he'd look back and you'd see Rodgers just scrambling out of the pocket, and then he just completely disregards whatever his route was, and he just finds himself open maybe 30, 40 yards down the field, maybe 10 yards down the field, whatever it is. So I think Mariota is a guy that maybe would rely on that connection more than most quarterbacks because he's not willing to take the sack, and he's willing to bounce it outside if he feels pressure or whatever. And if he can have a wide receiver that they can get on that wavelength and get open down the field, I think that'll help him so much more than a quarterback like Joe Flacco or like Tom Brady or something like that, you know?
Bruh, you just compared Marcus Mariota to Aaron Rodgers.
I'm saying I'm
what
not comparing him to
you're
Aaron
a Packers
Rodgers.
Fan.
I'm saying he needs a connection like
same
that.
Sentence.
Oh, man. I'm saying he needs a connection like that. He's obviously nowhere near Aaron Rodgers, yeah. But he would depend on that kind of, not to that tier of Rodgers, Jordy, but he would need that kind of connection more than most other quarterbacks. So I think if either one of these guys can make that happen, then I think that would make them much more beneficial for fantasy. And I just think Matthews is probably at his ceiling, so there's probably not much reason to expect that to happen. But Davis is just, the sky's the limit for this guy, apparently.
Well, I think with all of this being said, and I think we just spent like over 5 minutes talking about the Tennessee Titans. With that being said, Delanie Walker is the only Tennessee Titan that I would start week one.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm
not going to start Davis week one, but I think when you get towards that back half of the draft, the term I've picked up from other fantasy football guys is that dart throw, where you take someone in like the 9th, 10th, 13th, 15th round, whatever, and if they fall flat and you drop them week four, whatever. But if you hit on them, then that just makes them that much more valuable. So it's taking that risk later on in the draft for the high upside where you're drafting them in the 9th round, but you could conceivably see them finishing as like maybe a 3rd round value or something like that.
Sure. So I'm through 6 rounds. You want to hear who I've got on the team so far?
Let's do it.
I think this is a nice transition, actually.
So... currently on the team, thanks to these people drafting the Eagles' defense in the 3rd round, Drew Brees just went in the 6th round. This is ridiculous, but team is currently Russell Wilson, Melvin Gordon, Derrick Henry, DeAndre Hopkins, Doug Baldwin, and Mark Ingram.
We subliminally got him set on Derrick Henry and the Tennessee Titans.
I had just picked him, actually, when I brought that up. So I wanted to hype my team up a little bit, but that being said...
your last pick...
what, Mark Ingram?
Mark Ingram.
Mark Ingram dropped to the 6th round.
And Mark That's Ingram amazing. Is suspended for the first 4 games of the week.
First four games of the season.
He's
but
not the only one. this brings us to our next topic, actually.
Oh.
Yeah.
The players who are suspended.
Jack Doyle just went in the sixth round.
See, I don't know, though, because this is a 14-team league, and we're not used to playing in leagues.
Yeah, but I play in a 16-team money league that I won last year, and Jack Doyle wouldn't get touched until at least the 10th.
Okay, well, maybe Jack Doyle was a reach, but...
A tight end is a very finicky position. Once the top couple guys are gone, then there's not really anything left there.
But yes, yeah. Let's talk about drafting suspended players.
Okay. Yeah, I think there's good value in that. And if you can, one of the talking points I had here was if you can find a guy to, like, let's say you do draft Mark Ingram, and once week five rolls around, he's your starting running back. But what you do for the first 4 weeks, you have to have these contingency plans. And I think on the Packers, Jamal Williams, someone that I picked, is a really good one because he's in the same. So he's that reserve guy who's filling in for Aaron Jones, who's also suspended, who could conceivably just do well enough weeks one and two that he just ends up with a starting role even when Jones comes back. So I think Jamal Williams is a good guy to have. Trying to think of who else would be a good contingency option there.
I mean,
Alvin Kamara would be good to have, but
that's tough to plan for, though.
Yeah.
Maybe a guy like Nick Chubb. I mean, you never know how Carlos Hyde will start out of the gates. He's not exactly set the world on fire in his NFL career. So, I mean,
well, I think
Nick
that
Chubb
if you're not going to have the actual handcuff for the suspended player you have, you need to look at other teams who have suspended players, which Jamal Williams, Aaron Jones is suspended for the first couple games of the season. So, you're right, he is a good candidate. James Conner, if Le'Veon Bell decides that he's going to miss a little bit of time and need more money, then James Conner is a good option for the first few weeks of the season.
Or you look in San Francisco.
Steven Gostkowski just went in the sixth round. Seventh round. Oh, my God.
I feel like I've seen him draft that higher. I just played I was in a draft with a bunch of kids from Boston, so obviously all the Patriots players went way early.
Anyway. Suspended players.
Yes. So, yeah, I think that's the best strategy you can do is to be ready and have somebody. I have Mark Ingram in 3 out of my 4 teams. So, my backup plan.
So, it sounds
plan,
like you like that value there.
I do. And that's more so because I have seen in the past, I know it's Le'Veon Bell, but when he was suspended for the first 4 games of the season, I think Dan had him that year. And then you sat on him. But once he comes back, he's well worth the wait. Mark Ingram might not be on that same level as Le'Veon Bell, but I think Mark Ingram is still well worth the wait in comparison to where he's falling.
Oh, yeah. When he comes back, he'll be an RB2 at the lowest. And he's being drafted as like an RB3 or 4 right now.
Yeah. So it's tough because a lot of my teams, my RB1 is really good. But then my RB2, I've been waiting. I've been drafting Mark Ingram as my second running back. So I've been drafting my filler running back after him. So let's see. My teams where I have Mark Ingram, my RB2 week one is here, Chris Thompson. In this league, it is Duke Johnson. And in this league, it is Chris Thompson again. So gotcha. I guess Chris Thompson is resonating with me, too, as a filler.
Yeah, I mean, Mark Ingram, I was keeping a tally during our draft. He went as the RB17. And I think we are a little bit more informed than most leagues, I think. I would say all 10 of us are very in tune with fantasy football. So I think he went probably earlier than most other drafts. I'm not looking at an ADP for the standard ESPN league, but I would guess he goes probably RB21 or 22 or something. But he's when he comes back in week 5, he'll probably be worth RB top 10. So you're getting him at this incredible value. You're just missing 4 weeks, but if you can have someone replace that and hold off for then you're in good shape once week 5 rolls around, and then you're dealing with the inevitable injuries that always happen to everyone on everyone's team, it seems. Like,
quick question for you guys, how high are you on Sammy Watkins?
I'm gonna answer this one again.
Kansas City.
just no. I mean, not a shot at Kansas City, but Sammy Watkins, it's a shot at him.
Cooper Kupp is kind of inconsistent, you know.
Cooper Kupp could be good.
No, I like Cooper Kupp. I like Cooper Kupp a lot.
He's got a great name.
I think Goff can really get him the ball, and I think I'm going to steal Adrian Peterson at the next pick.
Ooh. Steal him. You thief.
Drop down. I think Adrian Peterson's actually going to have a fantastic year in Washington.
So, aside from Mark Ingram, another suspended player we got is Julian Edelman, who is falling much further than Mark Ingram is falling as a suspended player.
Yeah, I think it's that coupled with the injury. People are just, they have no idea what to think of him. There's a lot of people don't even remember he even exists.
I'm not worried about that at all. I think once he comes back, he's going to be 100%. I think he's going to be the number one target over Gronk in New England, provided everybody's healthy.
I think actually Edelman will be the number one guy. My hot take later on the show, I'm thinking the Fireball is telling me something about that AFC East wide receiving group over there.
Are we doing this again?
Yes. Absolutely.
Jason's doing it again. I'm excited for this.
It's going to be spicy.
Good Lord, defenses are going to plenty.
So here's a quick note. With the news last week that Khalil Mack got traded to the Bears and signed the biggest defensive contract in NFL history, do you think that that affects any AFC North or NFC North players' fantasy stock at all?
I'm going to go with my short answer that I've been going with all day. No.
I mean, it really just depends on the offensive line. We know Minnesota's offensive line is solid. Mm-hmm. We know Green Bay's offensive line is solid. I think the team that it would affect would be Chicago.
Yeah.
And you know who's that second year quarterback they got?
Chicago?
Yeah.
Trubisky.
How dare you, Mitch? It's going to be depend how Mitch handles the pressure.
Yeah, we'll see. He's definitely a big question mark. He could be a hit or miss this year, I think.
Wait, he got traded to the Bears.
Yeah, but like it was.
So it's not going to affect.
He was traded drafted.
It's not going to affect
he?
Mitch. Yeah. He's talking about who it's going to affect. I just said it's going to affect Mitch. It's not going to affect Mitch.
No.
That was just terrible.
I don't think it will.
Answer.
I don't think it'll affect anyone in particular. I don't think it'll drag down anyone's stock.
Stafford. Changing my answer to Stafford.
Stafford. I don't know. He might go after him in practice. You know?
Go after him. Screw you, Mitch.
Oh, man.
Well, he wants to go by Mitchell now, doesn't he?
I don't know.
He wants to be formal. He wants to go by Mitchell.
Tyrod wants to go by Tyrod now. I guess that was his name all along, or
wait,
something.
This is like
is
like the
is that
Office.
An actual thing?
Yeah, that's
Tyrod.
Yeah, it's like
Turd.
No,
Turd.
Not Turd. Turd.
Turd
Taylor.
Turd Taylor.
Oh man.
Oh, Tyrod. Is he going to get the start for Cleveland, or is it going to be Baker?
Obviously, he's going to be
Tyrod. Yeah, I think so.
But no. Back to the point, Mac. I don't think any defensive players really play that much of a role individually in terms of standard fantasy leagues.
Unless, the standard is the key. Unless you got IDPs.
Yeah. Well, yeah, IDPs. But, I mean, I've never done one
of
those leagues.
I've never done an IDP league.
I never will.
So
I wouldn't
give advice on
that.
Did you know on ESPN you can actually select to draft head coaches and you can get head coaching stats added to your fantasy team?
How?
Wins, losses, total yardage.
Wait, what format? On ESPN?
On ESPN. Me and Alicia were looking at... my girlfriend was setting up her league that I'm actually drafting in last night.
Why don't you, like, fix the basic things, ESPN, before you start...
So I'm looking through the scoring, and I'm trying to show her which boxes to click and how to set the scoring up. And she goes, why would I want my head coach to get points? I'm like, what? How is that an option?
I mean, why wouldn't you, but...
Who drafts a head coach? Let me draft Andy Reid in the 7th.
Do you get points for, like, the amount of challenge flags they throw or how far they throw challenge flags?
I'm sure challenges one is probably one
of
the stats.
Wait, if you want how far you can throw a challenge flag, you got to get a quarterback head coach, like Doug Peterson or somebody like that, you know?
I could see, if that was a stat and, like, that actually mattered, I could see John Gruden out there just chucking it as far as he could.
Yeah.
I don't think any head coach would really adjust their challenge flag throwing based off fantasy football.
I'll tell you what, man. He's got a great arm, man. I'll tell you what, call him flag throwing man.
What a time to be alive.
I'll tell you what, this guy right here, it's a great pick.
All right, Hungy Gruden.
I think we've had enough impressions.
I think our next topic is funny team names in leagues that we've had. I don't know if we touched on this before or not, but
we've had some good
ones. I guess
we're
at the start of the season, so everybody's drafting their teams and coming up with their team names. Obviously, I feel like that's what everybody does within 24 hours of drafting their team is come up with a name.
You have to.
Oh, yeah. I just did mine a couple minutes ago before I logged on here.
Oh, me too. I did mine today. I was late. I think some of my teams have been sitting there for 2 days without a new name, so I'm sorry.
Man. Hungy, I got to say, your team name is phenomenal in our league.
I appreciate it.
What is that one?
It's a slight on a former league member.
Oh, yeah. Omar never came. That could be meaning two different things, but...
So looking through our team names in our league, what... Ryan's team name hasn't changed in the last, like, three years.
Hold on.
Years.
Let me refresh the page. Make sure that none of these have changed since I had this page open. But, yeah, the team name is obviously very important. You definitely want to convey a lot to your league based off of your team name.
It sets the tone, yeah.
Having something original is always plus, but I think a lot of people oftentimes go to the search engine and Google fantasy team names and go from there.
I always try to avoid that. I have done that before, but I think the best one, and I don't think I'll ever top it, was a couple years ago I got Calvin Johnson and Randall Cobb on my team, and I went for Calvin and Cobbs, and I don't think anything will ever be more perfect or I'll top that in a long time. So I just go for the safe ones, but I try not to go to the search engines if I can help it.
That's what I'm saying, though. That's a really good name. That's original. Yeah. That's not something you like had to look up, you know? So that's a good one. The one I see in our league right now, which I've seen in every single league this year, is Carry On My Wayward Son.
Yeah, I've seen that one as well.
I mean, it's good, but again, if you just Google fantasy team names, I think that's the very first one that comes up, even if you don't like specify a player involved in it. So.
Yeah, probably somewhere close to that.
See, I came up with one today. I was trying to be original. I can't, since I have Larry Fitzgerald, I went with Fitz in the Randoms off of Fitz in the Tantrums.
I did get that one right away. That's okay. A good one.
I'm glad somebody got that. I wasn't sure if you got that when you saw it, Hungry.
I did not. I didn't get it at all.
It's a band, so I'm not sure everybody knows about the band, but...
I don't.
They're a good band. They got some good hits.
Yeah, with my team, I was trying to go for something off of Jared Goff, but I just couldn't get the right thing, and then... I have Le'Veon Bell, and since we're from Philadelphia, I went with Prince of Bel-Air, because that's a classic with us. Will Smith, the Philadelphia guy, everyone loves him, so I feel like that was...
I can appreciate that.
That was a pretty good one.
How nervous are you about Le'Veon Bell not signing his franchise tender?
I'm extremely nervous. He does not want to be in Pittsburgh at all, and I thought he would just go and tough it out for this year, but...
Jason,
man,
I'm a Le'Veon Bell owner myself, and I am also nervous.
Ooh.
Oh, man.
There's a lot of people that spent first, second, third overall picks on Le'Veon.
Well, I think it's just like, at this point, everybody expected him to be back by now.
Yeah,
like,
I didn't even know he wasn't back.
He did this last year, but he reported back on the Monday before his first week game. Mm-hmm. It is Tuesday. Tomorrow is Wednesday. He hasn't reported back yet. I hate to say this. They're playing the Cleveland Browns week one, I believe. I think he might miss the first week, I don't think he's too worried. The only thing that I think that would encourage him to actually sign his tender is the money, because he's going to lose money if he doesn't play.
He's going to start getting fined, so I think he will come back.
Well, he doesn't get the contract, the money for playing.
But you're right. I mean, and even if he does come back like Friday, they might hold him out anyway, just because he's missed so much practice and stuff. I was reading an article about the collective bargaining agreement that'll expire in 2021 or 2022 or something like that. And I think they're going to really seriously evaluate the rookie wage contract length, because right now it's set at 4 years, but then there's that fifth year, and then you have these franchise tags that teams can do. And so when a guy is drafted, there's legitimately 7 years that he has no choice of where he plays. Like, Le'Veon's been stuck in a situation, and I'm sure he likes Pittsburgh, and I'm sure he thinks it's a fine place, but they don't want to pay him the money he thinks he deserves, and he doesn't want to play there if he doesn't get this long-term safety of a long-term contract. So I think when they go in to reevaluate the new collective bargaining agreement, I think that's one of the things that the players' union is really going to push to get rid of, or to shorten the rookie deals, or give them player options instead of team options, or something like that, so you don't have this situation with Le'Veon where he's basically told them, like, I want a long-term deal and I want to be paid like the best running back in the league, and the team is just not doing it, and the team's getting away with it, and they get him anyway because that's the way this bargaining agreement is set up. And I just feel bad for the guy, but at the same time, I took him and he's just not showing up, so I need him to get there.
Yeah, I think the whole franchise tag thing is kind of bullshit.
It is, yeah.
The fact that after their contract is expired, yeah, they're going to get paid. They're going to be making money, but you're using the franchise tag on your best players. So you're using the franchise tag on guys who should be making that money as is, but you're
they're just avoiding the long-term deals. So these guys don't have security. At risk.
And the fact that you can use the franchise tag more than once on the same player, that's
can use it, what, up to
two times,
twice.
I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there's the maximum that. 7 years after guys drafted where he has no choice of where he plays.
Yeah.
Which is just crazy to me.
It's not fair because these, especially a guy like Le'Veon Bell, who's just being run into the ground.
Oh, yeah. You
know, he's at such injury risk.
In particular, their lifespan is way shorter than most other positions. So I honestly feel bad for him. He is really trying to get his long-term deal, his security, his guaranteed money, and the Steelers are just not doing it. Yeah. And they're just getting away with it because the rules don't say anything about them not being able to do it.
Pittsburgh, pay him. Just pay him. Like, honestly, just give him, like, a 4-year deal.
Yeah,
give
like half whatever, guaranteed or something, like, you know? It doesn't have to be anything crazy anymore, but just give him a couple years. This 1 year at a time has just got to be crazy for him.
I think Bell's problem, though, is that he wants it all guaranteed, which I can agree, not wanting to guarantee money.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I see it from both sides, but if I'm the Steelers, I want that guy on my team. I'm going to pay him.
Yeah, and they also have to probably be a little realistic as well because Ben Roethlisberger was drafted in 2004. So he's coming up on the end of his career, and you have to think they don't really have a backup that they trust, that they don't have a Jimmy Garoppolo on their team or in the horizon in the near future. So I guess their point of view is like, what's the point of paying Le'Veon Bell for 4 years and having him on the team, and then a year from now, Big Ben retires or something happens, and then we're just in the dumpster for the next 3 years anyway. We're paying this guy way too much money. Like, I could see it from all these angles.
Yeah. But we'll see. I'm holding on hope. I think that if Le'Veon reports tomorrow, Wednesday, that he will be playing week one.
I think
so. It seems to be the general consensus that if he reports tomorrow, then he's good. But if he's not there tomorrow, you might need some backup plans.
Which is why in our league I'm pretty lucky actually, because my keeper was a wide receiver. So with my first three picks, the number one overall, and then what is it, the 21 and 22 or 20, 21, something like that, I went with all three running backs. So I have Joe Mixon and Jordan Howard, and then I also snagged Jamal Williams later on in the draft. So I do have three starting running backs even without Bell. So if he is out, then I can take it, but I definitely would rather have him in there than not.
See, now I did the opposite in the league where I drafted Le'Veon. I also drafted Mark Ingram in that league. So.
Oh, yeah, you're going to need him there.
I'm looking at a week one running back duo of Duke Johnson Jr. and Rex Burkhead. So I could throw a 3-0 Riddick in there instead of one of them, but those are my options.
Either way, that doesn't inspire much confidence.
I'm not super against Riddick. I mean,
over Rex Burkhead or Duke Johnson, though?
Yeah, I would consider over Burkhead because you consider is
that?
Burkhead still on the Patriots?
Yeah,
he's one of the
I'm
starters.
I'm not starting any Patriots.
Yeah, but
back
like
ever.
he was like the highest ranked New England running back going.
Yeah,
because
Sony Michel is out, and it's just Rex Burkhead pretty much, and who's the other running back over there? James White. But I'm staying away from all Lions running backs because they have four of them that could conceivably get
Lions or Patriots.
The Lions.
Well, I mean, the way I see it is this.
Well, Lions too, but
Blunt is going to get carries. I mean, there's no reason why they would have signed him if they weren't going to get him carries.
But then why draft Kerryon Johnson?
Riddick is going to catch balls out of the backfield like he's been doing for the past couple seasons.
That's all he does.
But that's what Amir Abdullah's role is too,
isn't it?
He puts up
solid points in a PPR league catching balls out of the backfield.
And that's why I have him, is because it's a PPR league.
Exactly.
If it wasn't a PPR league, I would never have Theo Riddick on my team. But, you know, he catches the ball. He can catch the ball seven times in a game. He can do that. They do that sometimes.
I just think having the four running backs is hard to guarantee he'll be on the field enough to do it. I think Abdullah gets that same kind of role. And then Kerryon Johnson has looked amazing, but then, yeah, they still have LeGarrette Blount, and they have these other three guys. I don't see how they all get their cut.
That's why I avoid these teams. I inevitably draft the running backs, but I avoid teams like the Cleveland Browns, who have three running backs who they can use. The New England Patriots, who have three running backs.
Yeah. The Jets.
The Jets.
Although, to be honest, I've been staying away from the Jets as a team for like 5 years.
Yeah. Well, can't blame you for that. Austin Seferian Jenkins had a couple good weeks last year where he was worth fielding, but I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't been inspired by the Jets in a long time.
How about Darnold getting the start, though?
Yeah, I think youngest? I saw his rookie of the year odds jumped up like tenfold after he was announced the starter.
Youngest player to ever start a week one game.
Darnold. That's amazing.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's one of those things where we were just talking about Big Ben, and I think about it as Eli Manning. What about these? What are these guys going to do? Are these teams going to do once they lose their quarterbacks? Because I think there's an era of quarterbacks that are all going to leave like right around the same time, including Eli Manning and Big Ben.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you have Eli, Big Ben, and Phillip Rivers were all drafted in 2004. And then Brady and Breeze are probably going to be gone soon, too.
Yeah, so there's a lot of teams that are going to have to address the quarterback position.
Well, the Saints just did that. They traded for Teddy. So they got Drew Brees' replacement on lockdown.
Well, we'll see how that goes. You never know.
Lord, Mike Gesicki just went in the 12th. I mean, I was just looking at him as potentially taking him in like the 15th. He just went in the 12th.
Yeah, there's still a lot of good tight ends there that you can.
No, there's a lot. That's why I was gonna sleep and get Gesicki at the end of the draft. But...
Man, all Penn right. State tight end, you can't wait on that guy.
Anyway.
So what's our what do we want to talk about next?
What do you want to hear? Who I've got so far?
Yeah, let's get your team. Yeah,
so we've got Russell Wilson, Melvin Gordon, Derrick Henry, DeAndre Hopkins, Doug Baldwin, Tyler Eifert, Mark Ingram, Houston's defense, Cooper Kupp, Adrian Peterson, John Ross, and Cameron Meredith.
Tyler Eifert as your starting tight end?
Well, that's why I was going to grab Gesicki late. I'm
yeah,
about
Tyler
grabbing...
Eifert, you need that insurance policy.
You right, might want to grab one of these other guys.
Well, I was just about to think about... Well,
Kittle might be good.
I was thinking Ben Watson.
Ben Watson would be the other good one I see like on that.
I've heard good things from Vance McDonald.
Vance, yeah, well, yes and no. Do you trust Big Ben?
I mean, yeah, he's been durable. He's gotten his guys' love over the past couple of years.
Who was his tight end last year? Do you remember?
Jesse James. Yeah, because he was the one who had that controversial catch that everyone pointed to with Ertz's catch in the Super Bowl, which was not the same thing at all.
The catch that ended his season, too.
That one catch.
Yeah.
And it ended his season.
Anyway, I don't think that, I don't know. I don't trust Pittsburgh in the tight end. Some teams I just don't trust with their tight ends.
Apparently one guy has drafted only wide receivers, and I'm going to check this out now.
Wait, what? What
round
are you in?
He said I've monopolized. We're in the 13th round.
He says I've monopolized. What?
But how is it even possible?
We're going to find out.
Let's see who.
I feel like their position limits for ESPN
Adams,
drafts.
Tate, Alex Collins,
no, he's got other players.
He's got other players.
His wide receiver isn't good. What is he talking about?
He's only got two running backs, though. We're in the 13th round, so.
We need to stop talking about your draft. This isn't actual fantasy world. This is fantasy football.
Yeah, I was about to say fantasy.
Well, I wanted to talk about, since we're in draft season, just our general draft strategies. Do you guys have anything that you follow? Because I know that there is a particular format that I follow, particularly for the first two rounds, maybe three rounds, and then just in general across the entire draft. But I'll let you guys go first. Do you guys have any strategies?
Get a running back early, real early. Take that first pick, get a running back, because there's only 12-ish running backs that really are going to be that RB1 position for you. They're going to go quick. So get the RB in the first round. I mean, yes, Antonio Brown, Julio, whoever, they're going to be point, you know, point getters. What would you...
No.
They're going to total the points up, but a running back, a true RB1, there are not many, so get him early. That's why I actually swapped picks with Nick. I had Antonio Brown, who I kept in the first round, but I wanted to make sure that I moved up in the second to grab a running back. Because if you don't get a running back early, you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, that's what you got to do. Yeah. I've been doing the same thing for a couple of years. You got to take – I mean, this draft, it just happened to work out where I had three legitimate picks at the very beginning of the draft and then the end of the second round, beginning of the third round, where the best value and what I wanted to go with anyway were just running backs, and I think that helps a lot because I think just having the running back is so valuable because you're right. There are only really like 12 to 15 like solid bell cow they're going to get you this many touches of running backs in the league, whereas I think there are so many more wide receivers. The tight ends are just kind of a crapshoot anyway, and the quarterbacks are very dependable as well. So I think, to use a math term here, I'm going to sound really smart, that delta of like running back 6 versus running back 16 is like way bigger than the delta wide receiver 6 and wide receiver 16. I think they're all just like grouped so much more together. You have that elite tier of like Odell, Julio Jones, and like DeAndre Hopkins, but then like after that, like when you get to the wide receiver like 8, 9, 10, the difference between them and wide receiver like 23 isn't as big as the running back situation is. So I think you have to get those guys, or just get lucky and hit on someone later in the draft, like a Kamara or like a Devontae Freeman a couple years ago, or like someone like that. But you can't count on that. So the guarantees, I guess, are those top running backs early in the draft, and then you can get a comparable wide receiver later on.
Well, I think that as fantasy football players, we are blessed this year because there is a lot of top potential talent at the running back position. So the first two rounds of the any draft has a lot of running backs, I think. But my strategy is you need to take a running back in one of those first two rounds. If you go wide receiver,
you're going to be in trouble.
You're
screwed.
In a hole.
You really are going to be screwed at that point.
Yeah.
You're not going to get your top running back could be like Jordan Howard. And you know what? Maybe that one year he was.
No, you're able not even going to get there. Jordan Howard. Yeah. If you go wide receiver, maybe. Wide receiver, you're not getting Jordan Howard.
He was my third Alex round pick, Collins. But he was the first pick of the third round.
Yeah, Alex Collins might be likely. You got that sheet?
Yeah.
You go running back, you go wide receiver. I think you're going to be down later than that. You're going to be Royce Freeman, Derrick Henry, yeah, Alex Collins, Ajayi.
These are not running back one guys.
Not
so,
yet, but no. Derrick Henry has the potential.
Yeah, you better hope so. But he's not even
in those first three rounds.
He's not even my number one.
Yeah, in those first three rounds, you're not banking on potential, though.
In a 14-man league, he's not your number one. So, I don't know, man. I feel like even in reverse, though, if you go running back round one, I personally feel like you need to go wide receiver round two. I don't think it's I mean, you see a couple teams get stacked at the running back position and they have two potential running back number ones, but I think you sacrifice way too much when you do that. I think the first two rounds you need to go running back, wide receiver, whatever order. I think you need to just rotate in the first two rounds no matter what.
Yeah, I think that like bell cow running back is so important to get because I mean, if you compare like a Zeke to an Odell Beckham, like Zeke is going to get you no less than like 8 points every week. Like it would be shocking if Zeke put up like a 5-point dud. Whereas Odell, it's not unreasonable to have him have like an off game and go 2 catches for 25 yards.
You mean like week one when he's going to be getting guarded by Jalen Ramsey?
Yeah, so something like that. Like that happens. Like wide receivers face that shutdown corner, whereas running backs can shade to one side of the field or the other, and they get enough opportunities. If they're getting 25 touches, one of them might be a 25-yard gain for a touchdown. Who knows?
Before you continue, I mean, yes and no, but I would like you to look at the total yardage from Jordan Howard, Devontae Freeman, who was the Carlos Hyde from this past season against the Eagles?
Why does that matter against one team?
I'm just saying, you said they're not going to get a 5-point dud. Jordan Howard rushed for 7 yards against the Eagles. Yeah, that's it. So they can get bust weeks depending on the defense and the defensive line that they're playing. So
yeah, I guess it could happen. It's just a lot more rare than a comparable wide receiver in that same range.
Well, the guys you're taking in the first two rounds aren't going to have dud weeks.
Yeah, exactly. And on the same note, I think it's a lot easier for a wide receiver to have a 9-catch, 180-yard, two-touchdown day than it would be for a running back to match that point total on a week-to-week basis. So the wide receiver is just more boom or bust. So I think that's just where the discrepancy is with those positions. I'm willing to pay those first three-round prices for the safety of a running back who's not really going to get you that five-point dud too often.
Yeah.
So beyond the first two rounds, is there any strategy you guys have there? Because for me, I've realized over the years that what I do is I fill out my starting roster pretty much before I do anything else. That includes quarterback and tight end position. And a lot of times for me, I'll fill out my defense before I go deep into my bench. You know, maybe I'll get one or two bench players before I draft the defense, but I'm the guy who's trying to always get one of those top defenses. So everybody always yells at me for reaching on.
Yeah, I think didn't you end up with the Jags D?
Of course I did, because I'm not gonna bench him any week except for the week where they're on bye.
That is not my strategy at all. I actually, as of round 12 or 13, I think the other day, I did not have a tight end. I did have tight end, but I didn't have a quarterback, defense, or kicker. Actually, to this day, I still do not have a defense or a kicker.
I didn't draft a kicker.
Yeah, I just tend to wait on all those other positions because it goes back to the change for me. Like, I would say the difference between, like obviously Aaron Rodgers is that elite, top-notch quarterback, but I'm not willing to pay a fourth-round pick for him. Whereas I could get Philip Rivers with the last pick, and yeah, he'd be worse, but he wouldn't be that much worse. So I'm willing to wait on those positions and grab the value later on. I ended up with Jared Goff, who I think could be a pretty good quarterback and not that much worse than like a Russell Wilson in the – he dropped really far in our draft, didn't he? Like the sixth or seventh round or something like that?
Yeah,
that
was crazy. Russell Wilson really fell. My brother got him.
Yeah, that was shocking.
He got him in like the seventh round, yeah.
Now, do you guys draft a backup quarterback? Or do you just draft one?
I just did in the 16th round. I took Bortles in the 16th.
I draft a backup quarterback in the last round of the draft. I take my kicker before that in hopes that other people are taking the kicker in the last round of the draft. And then I wait till the last round to take a backup quarterback.
So do you want to hear the total team now that I just said I drafted Bortles in the 16th?
Yeah, let's do it.
Russell Wilson, Melvin Gordon, Derrick Henry, DeAndre Hopkins, Doug Baldwin, Tyler Eifert, Mark Ingram, Houston defense, Graham Gano, Cooper Kupp, Adrian Peterson, John Ross, Cameron Meredith, Ben Watson, Dante Moncrief, and Blake Bortles.
And for a 14-team league, that is pretty solid.
That's good for 14 teams.
That is a very solid team for a 14-team league.
But, I mean, you're also
obviously
playing against people who have never played fantasy football before.
Right, and I host
so.
A fantasy football podcast.
Yeah, so I...
That is true.
You're a big
but
man there.
Hunky,
yeah,
you're
I
also
know,
the
I
same one.
Win.
You're
I
the same one who took
player.
Jay Ajayi in the third round.
Third
of our
round,
draft.
Yes. You took Jay Ajayi in the third round.
I liked where he was. I mean, if you looked positionally at the running backs.
Is
that
he
were
even the third best running back on the team?
Is he even the third best?
He might know. Be. I mean, he is the third best, but I don't think he'll get
no,
that
he
lion's share.
No, he is the best
of,
running back on the team.
I just don't think he'll get that lion's share of the carries that you
I knew this
from
was
going to
come up. I was thinking about this in my car right over, and I knew this was going to come up, and I stand by it.
But
if
what
you
about
look,
fantasy-wise?
Look positionally at the running backs available at the time. I'll show you straight up who was available, because my brother said the same thing, and he's looking at the top 300 sheet, and I'm looking at the running backs available. There really were not that many at the time. I like Ajayi. I think Ajayi's going to get most of the carries, especially some of the goal line stuff. I think that Ajayi is going to put up more points than Clement Sproles and certainly Smallwood.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But
I don't think
they're all
going
to be getting used is the thing.
Yeah, I just don't think
he'll
get
enough.
I'm not
going to be getting used, but Ajayi is the main running back. Everyone else is situational. That's it.
I don't know. I think that's a major reach. I think the only person on ESPN's rankings above Jay Ajayi who I wouldn't take is Alex Collins. I would take Jay Ajayi over Alex Collins. But other than that, I would have taken any of these other guys over Jay Ajayi.
Yeah, I'm not discounting his talent. I think he's a great player. And on most other teams, he would be a very worthy fantasy draft pick. But I think he's just not going to have that, like, 20... carry a game kind of potential. Like, he'll make the most of his carries and he'll be a very productive, good player and he'll get a couple touchdowns, but I don't think you can rely on like 11 to 14 carries a game or something like that.
Yeah, I see them as a pass first team this year.
I mean, I think you guys are going to be very surprised at the output that Ajayi gets when I win the league.
We'll see. You're a fungus. Well, number two.
There's your hot take, so let me give you my hot take for today.
Yeah, we might as well move on to Jason's fireball shot.
Yeah, so I have my shot of fireball here, and it'll probably give me some inspiration and maybe a little bit of heartburn. So here we go, taking it right now.
Hold on.
Is it an app you can pull up real
quick? It is an app I can pull up real quick.
Well, too late, just did it.
Wow, Jason's getting lit.
So lit on Tuesday night. But here's my... Here's my hot take.
That was the wrong one!
For the season. Now that Hungy has sufficiently messed up the hot take. But here it is. So, in the AFC East, Kenny Stills will lead the AFC East wide receivers in fantasy scoring this year.
In the AFC East?
Out of the Dolphins.
Dolphins, Patriots,
Houston? Bills,
and
Jets.
In the
Jets. So Dolphins, Patriots, Bills, and Jets. I think Kenny Stills of the Dolphins will lead the AFC East wide receivers in scoring. So that's not including Gronk, because I think Gronk will lead all of the receiving targets.
In
fantasy scoring, yes.
Mm.
Because when you look at that Dolphins offense, they have Tannehill coming back. So he's replacing what the dumpster fire of Cutler was last year. Tannehill will be looking to air it out and get that next contract, because I think he's at the end of his road in Miami. They lose Jarvis Landry. Devontae Parker has been very underwhelming and in and out with an injury now, too. I think he broke his finger or something. So Kenny Stills is that lead guy. He's only 26 years old, too. And then you look at the other teams, and the Jets, no one. The Bills, Kelvin Benjamin, I guess. The Patriots have Chris Hogan and then Julian Edelman when he comes back. So I think that opens up the door for Kenny Stills down there.
I'm going to challenge your hot take with a hot take of my own and say that I think Julian Edelman comes out, even with the suspension, as the highest point getter in terms of fantasy points.
Is he out 4 weeks?
And that includes Gronk. I think Julian Edelman's going to come back and surpass Gronk.
Edelman's on the Dolphins now, right?
Amendola.
Yeah.
Edelman's, I think it's four games, but I'm...
Yeah, this is a hot take, Jason. I think with the suspension...
That is a pretty hot one. Wait, Nick, are you sure you didn't take a shot of Fireball too?
Nah, I took a shot of Captain.
I'm going to go even hotter. I think you're missing it. I think it's going to be Chris Hogan.
I think Chris Hogan
is going to sustain enough points coming out of the slot in New England that Chris Hogan is going to get the most fantasy points as far as wide receivers in the AFC East go.
Mm. Ooh. So we got a three-way bet going on here. We got to make some stakes at some point offline here.
We're gonna make the stakes based on fireball shots.
I can dig
it. This could be our fan question. What after you take the Wonderlic test? Let us know which wide receiver in the AFC East is gonna put up the most fantasy points this year. But
yeah, we gotta set up a Twitter poll there. If you guys haven't heard by now, we have a Twitter account.
We do.
The Fantasy Process Report. Nick has been spearheading that.
@PPR_official.
Which, yeah. I think we all need the login for this because I've disagreed with some of the takes.
I'm good. I got it.
I like how the person typing uses the word we.
I use I a good amount. I use I. And
right.
I also say I think. I think. I use my I think statements.
I use my I think. Let's look at some of these tweets while we're on here, which we're all over the place here. But Fantasy Brothers, it's official. Can we get it verified?
Twitter, where you at?
Gotta love an Aussie that plays football.
Fantasy football, come on now. Didn't you see that guy? Roger Federer, and then he was talking
Aussies,
about who he's going to take in the first round after his post-game interview.
Speaking of Aussies, Jordan Mailata making the 53-man roster for the Eagles. What a guy.
Have you watched any of his film?
Oh, he looks like a machine.
He looks like he's been doing this his whole life, and he's been doing it for a few months.
Mm. And he's like 6'7".
It's absurd. Look at this. We're replying to all kinds of people here.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I gotta put out for Twitter. How else are we gonna get those followers?
I like this a lot. Yeah, definitely. Any fantasy questions you've got at @PPR_official, tweet at us. We are more than happy to answer your questions on Twitter if we all get the password. But that's debatable.
Yeah, we'll see if I get there.
Anyway, we got anything else for today?
No, I think we're at the about an hour mark. I think we're gonna be cutting this one a little bit short tonight. But we definitely have plenty of other topics to talk about next time we get in front of the microphone.
Well, it's going to be...
Week one will probably be over. I don't know if we're going to...
Yeah, I would assume week one's going to be over, so we'll recap who wins, who doesn't.
Yeah, we'll have some actual fantasy football to talk about.
We actually will. Probably have some injuries.
That'll be amazing. We'll have that sneaky waiver wire guy that no one knew about, and the head coach disguised and ran out there and just stole the show week one, and everyone is scrambling to pick up that first guy. And the one I always think of is Arian Foster. A couple years ago, literally not a single human being knew about Arian Foster. And then week one, he just blew up for the Texans and just did not stop that year.
Yep.
Jason, I'm actually playing your brother in week one.
Ooh. I was actually kind of confused by his team name, but I'm sure I'll get an explanation.
that was another team name that I was kind of confused about. What was it?
Yeah, so it's something, the Mini Fridge Worldwide LLC. With a little symbol next to it. I honestly do not know what that means, so I'm sure I'll ask him and figure it out. But yeah, that should be an interesting matchup. Who do I have? I got Nick. You and I are matched up this week.
Oh, really?
And right now, ESPN is projecting you beat me by 18.5, but that is not factoring in. I currently am not employing a defense or a kicker.
Suck it.
So
I still don't have a kicker. So
yeah, I'm 18 points down, but I don't have a kicker or defense, so I'm sure I'll change that before Sunday.
Might dump Eifert for a kicker.
Yeah, I'm about to drop all of my bench players to pick up all the best defenses and kickers.
that would be the most aggressive move ever.
Week one.
You do that, sir, and I will pick up all of your guys.
I actually did that in...
Well, you can do it at the end of the season. Week one, it's aggressive.
Right, I did it. Yeah. I did it at the end of the season against in my brother's money league. I dumped my entire bench and picked up...
I've done it. I
picked up quarterbacks because...
Yep.
Who was it that got hurt at the very end of the season?
It doesn't matter. If somebody gets hurt, you got to play it.
Anyway, I dumped everybody, picked up quarterbacks, and forced him to get... I forget who he got, but... Got me the win.
What was it, like Ryan Fitzpatrick or something?
Yeah, something like that. Garbage.
Well, Nick, you should definitely do that because Mark Ingram will be a member of my team within like 2 days if you drop your whole bench.
All right. It's a deal.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. Well, I think we're going to wrap it up here.
Yeah. So we will we'll post on Twitter when the next episode's about to come out.
Yes.
Some point next week. Stay tuned. And for now, we'll see you next time. I'm Matt.
I'm Nick.
I'm Jason. We'll talk to you guys later.
Peace.
Good night.
Go Birds.